Chapter 41. Vladimir Polovoy glanced up from his desk as his chief deputy and number two man of the world's largest intelligence gathering organization, Sergei Ivanov, walked purposefully into the room.
"You look as if you've got a hot steak up your ass this morning, Sergei."
"He's escaped," Ivanov said tersely.
"Who are you talking about?"
"Paul Suvorov. He's managed to break out of Bougainville's hidden laboratory."
Sudden anger flushed Polovoy's face.
"Damn, not now!"
He called our New York Covert Action Center from a public telephone in Charleston, South Carolina, and asked for instructions. Polovoy rose and furiously paced the carpet.
Why didn't he call the FBI and ask them for instructions, too? Better yet, he could have taken out an advertisement in USA Today.
Fortunately, his superior immediately sent a coded message to us reporting the incident.
At least someone is thinking.
There's more, said Ivanov.
Suvorov took Senator Larimer and Congressman Moran with him.
Polovoy halted and spun around.
The idiot! He's queered everything!
He is not entirely to blame.
How do you draw that conclusion? Polovoy asked cynically.
Suvorov is one of our five top agents in the United States. He is not a stupid man. He was not briefed on Lugovoy's project, and it's logical to assume it was entirely beyond his comprehension. He undoubtedly treated it with great suspicion and acted accordingly.
In other words, he did what he was trained to do.
In my opinion, yes.
Polovoy gave an indifferent shrug.
If only he'd concentrated on simply giving us the location of the laboratory.
Then our people could have moved in and removed the Huckleberry Finn operation from Bougainville's control.
As things are now, Madame Bougainville may be angry enough to cancel the experiment.
And lose $1 billion in gold?
I doubt that very much.
She still has the President and Vice President in her greedy hands. Moran and Larimer are no great loss to her.
Nor to us, Ivanov stated.
The Bougainvilles were our smokescreen in case the American intelligence agencies scuttled Huckleberry Finn. Now, with two abducted congressmen in our hands, it might be considered an act of war, or at very least a grave crisis. It would be best if we simply eliminated Moran and Larimer.
Polovoy shook his head.
Not yet.
Their knowledge of the inner workings of the United States military establishment can be of incalculable benefit to us.
A hazardous game.
Not if we are careful and quickly dispose of them when and if the net tightens.
Then our first priority is to keep them from discovery by the FBI.
Has Suvorov found a safe place to hide?
Not known, Ivanov answered.
He was only told by New York to report every hour until they reviewed the situation and received orders from us in Moscow.
Who heads our undercover operations in New York?
His name is Basil Kobylin.
Advise him of Suvorov's predicament, said Polovoy, omitting, of course, any reference pertaining to Huckleberry Finn. His orders are to hide Suvorov and his captives in a secure place until we can plan their escape from U.S. soil.
Not an easy matter to arrange.
Ivanov helped himself to a chair and sat down. The Americans are searching under every rock for their missing heads of state. All airfields are closely watched, and our submarines can't come within 500 miles of their coastline without detection by their underwater warning line.
There is always Cuba.
Ivanov looked doubtful.
The waters are too closely guarded by the U.S. Navy and Coast Guard against drug traffic. I advise against any escape by boat in that direction.
Polovoy gazed out the windows of his office overlooking Dzerzhinsky Square. The late morning sun was fighting a losing battle to brighten the drab buildings of the city. A tight smile slowly crossed his lips.
Can we get them safely to Miami?
Florida?
Yes.
Ivanov stared into space.
There is the danger of roadblocks, but I think that could be overcome.
Good, said Polovoy, suddenly relaxing.
See to it.
Less than 3 hours after the escape, Lee Tong Bougainville stepped out of the laboratory's elevator and faced Lugovoy. It was a few minutes before 3 in the morning, but he looked as if he had never slept.
My men are dead, Lee Tong said without a trace of emotion.
I hold you responsible.
I didn't know it would happen.
Lugovoy spoke in a quiet but steady voice.
How could you not know?
You assured me this facility was escape-proof. I didn't think he would actually make an attempt.
Who is he?
Paul Suvorov, a KGB agent, who your men picked off the Staten Island ferry by mistake.
But you knew.
He didn't make his presence known until after we arrived.
And yet you said nothing.
That's true, Lugovoy admitted. I was afraid. When this experiment is finished, I must return to Russia. Believe me, it doesn't pay to antagonize our state security people. The built-in fear of the man behind you. Bougainville could see it in the eyes of every Russian he met. They feared foreigners, their neighbors, any man in uniform. They'd lived with it for so long it became an emotion as common as anger or happiness. He did not find it in himself to pity Lugovoy. Instead, he despised him for willingly living under such a depressing system.
Did this Suvorov cause any damage to the experiment?
No, Lugovoy answered. The vice president has a slight concussion, but he is back under sedation. The president was untouched.
Nothing delayed?
Everything is proceeding on schedule.
And you expect to finish in 3 more days?
Lugovoy nodded.
I'm moving your deadline up.
Lugovoy acted as though he hadn't heard correctly. Then the truth broke through to him.
Oh, God, no, he gasped. I need every minute. As it is, my staff and I are cramming into 10 days what should take 30. You're eliminating all our safeguards. We must have more time for the president's brain to stabilize.
That is President Antonov's concern, not mine or my grandmother's. We fulfilled our part of the bargain. By allowing a KGB man in here, you jeopardized the entire project.
I swear I had nothing to do with Suvorov's breakout.
Your story, Bougainville said coldly.
I choose to believe his presence was planned, likely on President Antonov's orders. Certainly, by now, Suvorov has informed his superiors and every Soviet agency in the States is converging on us. We will have to move the facility.
That was the final shattering blow. Lugovoy looked as if he was about to gag.
Impossible! He howled like an injured dog. Absolutely no way we can move the president and all this equipment to another site and still meet your ridiculous deadline.
Bougainville glared at Lugovoy through narrow slits of eyes. When he spoke again, his voice was rock calm.
Not to worry, Doctor. No upheaval is necessary.